Thank you, Jessica. And that's all that matters. Amen, Ryan? That's all that matters. And you know, that's our, I'm often mindful when we focus on things. And, you know, we're excited about the Fall Festival. And we're praying for Brian, so many needs. But, you know, that song was for each of us this morning. And if there's something that is not right with your soul, if you don't know Jesus, you're walking a guilty distance, or you're just burdened down, confused, whatever's going on, I mean, that's why we're here. Because we've been worshiping all morning and lifting up the name of Jesus and focusing on Him. And Byron, I couldn't help, I turned back to Eric a moment ago when the choir was getting ready to leave. You know, the beautiful worship music kind of started, and then all of a sudden it stopped for a moment, and then you started it back. Now, you can probably explain why that happened, but I think that was kind of God. I turned back to Eric and I said, you know, isn't that kind of how life is? It's like sometimes, you know, you'll have a day, and man, just the God music almost playing. You can't hear it, but I mean, everything's just going wonderful, right? Amen? What a wonderful day. And all of a sudden, the music stops. Something happens, something, you hear something or something, you do something or whatever, and it's like, God, what happened? Things are going so smooth. And so I'm thankful this morning that He gives us that peace. He gives us presence. We have prayer. We have, and when we're not around those to worship with, and when the music in our maybe head stops and we get confused, that we can always go to Him and always be touched by Him. But once again, just a reminder, and we've talked about it, but remember tonight, be in prayer. I thank you again, everybody that's worked so hard for the Fall Festival. Hope you'll bring your children, bring a neighbor, bring some neighbor children that's come out and fellowship with us, having barbecue and hot dogs and all kind of good stuff for the kids. So just come out and be there. Cake walk, that's funny. I think it was Macy maybe over here that we were talking about candy and stuff. Or either Macy or Addie, and they said cake walk. I know adults get excited about that too. So turn in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. We've made our way kind of up to verse 16. Daniel 9, verse 16. If you're physically able, stand with me in the honor of reading God's word. Daniel 9, 16. I love the first two. The first words here in open of 16, it's my prayer often, my feeling. 9:16, Daniel says, O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from the city of Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people have become a reproach and all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplication, and cause thy face to shine upon the sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations in the city which is called by name. For we do not present our supplication before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do, defer not for thine own sake. O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. Lord, we call out. O Lord, we call out to you, asking, Lord, that you might forgive, that you might heal our land, heal our country, heal our homes, heal hearts that may be broken today, Lord. And let us, Lord, continue to learn from Daniel. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Yeah, I stand amazed continually at how alive God's Word is. I give you an example this morning. I've been studying this passage for some time now. I was rereading and studying this passage early this morning and praying. And as I stood here before you in His house to read again, it just continually was jumping out. I hadn't recognized how often Daniel says, O Lord, in his prayer. There in verse 6, verse 17, O our God. And verse 18, look, he says, O my God. And look at verse 19. I've studied this, but look, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken. O my God. I mean, Daniel, I believe David is getting in touch with God. I mean, he is calling out. He is pleading. He's recognizing who God is. And that's how we call, oh my God, I realize my need. Don't we, amen? We realize our need. So I'm excited about what Daniel's doing in his prayer and how obviously Daniel has been listening to God to cause him to be able to pray and even respond to God in this way. And so I wanted to do something before we dive in. Really to just this idea of prayer, I wanted to do a quick review. I looked back in my notes and we had really began this idea of hearing God's voice right out of revival that we had in the fall. And it's been some weeks now. And I wanted to kind of take you, maybe this is the first Sunday you've been here, maybe you missed one in between, or if you're like me, sometimes it needs a reminder of where we've been, where God's taking us. But we started back in that Sunday in August with that 1 Kings 19 and 1 through 2, where the Bible in that passage in Kings is talking about that still, small voice of God. And it made the statement that we all have the same greatest need, and that's we need to have a closer walk with God. In order to have the walk that He desires, that'll be His will, the walk that'll be biblical, the walk that'll take us into all the things He has planned for us, the way that'll take us through the troubled storms and the bad news like Brian and Pat got this week is going to be that if we're going to hear His voice, that's the only way it'll happen. And the whole passage we looked at that Sunday was the idea that after great times, remember that Elijah had this great time of victory in God. Things were going wonderful. He had claimed the victory in God's name, and the prophets of Baal were all destroyed. But all of a sudden, then right after that, just the words of one person, the words of one Jezebel, the king's wife, of threatening him, discouraged him. So we learned that in hearing that still small voice, that oftentimes after great times of blessing, that things are going to distract us. And remember, that voice wasn't in the earthquake or the fire. It was this still small voice. And remember, we made the statement, God is not going to get louder in the world. He expects us to get quieter and get more humble so we can hear that still small voice. Often what happens is our own selfishness, amen, our circumstances will distract from that. We looked in several passages there. We looked that we need to prepare ourselves to hear His voice, and ultimately looking at wanting to hear and listen to Him kind of took us to Daniel. We've been here for some weeks, and that he really did prepare. We talked more about that last Sunday, about preparing and just wanting to hear God. We need to be sensitive to the touch of God. Remember how God touched Elijah? He was down and he was discouraged. And man, I pray that for you this morning. We all get down and discouraged, amen? Pray for Brooke. Brooke's had a blessed pregnancy and the baby's healthy and she's doing well, but she's getting in those final weeks and she's having a lot of swelling in her feet and there's just not much room for the baby, so that makes for a difficult night, difficult day. So, hey, we need to always be reminded that God can touch us. Amen. I pray for whatever your need is. Maybe you woke up this morning, you wake up tomorrow morning, and just that continual physical trouble or something that's going on emotionally is going to want to paralyze you in bed, that you realize, hey, God can touch you. He can get you out of the bed. He can encourage you and take us on. And in those touches, if we sense to God touching, then we'll begin to listen to hear His voice better. We kind of then went over to Daniel and began looking in some earlier chapters of Daniel about how he truly did listen to God. He had this understanding that God wanted to give him, and that's what took us there. He was touched by the Holy Spirit. We looked at things and talked about the idea of the voice of the Lord often begins with a simple question like God gave to Elijah, where are you at? What are you doing here, Elijah? And that if we'll just listen to His voice, and if we'll listen closely, man, He'll direct us in everything. Don't y'all believe? There's nothing, absolutely nothing has ever happened or will ever happen that God doesn't have a word for. Praise God. I mean, every prayer request we have, everything that happens, just so many things are going, God has something to say about it. Praise God. God has something to pray about what's going on the politics of the United States and what's going on with ISIS. And God has a word. And we looked in Daniel 9 in one message about that Daniel had a plan to hear God. Remember, his plan was to set his face toward the Lord, going to seek. Prayer was going to be the key to it all. He did it with fasting. He deprived himself of his necessary food so he might become weak before God and just in a better place physically where God could speak to him. He performed in verse 4 of Daniel 9 the power of prayer. He prayed. It's kind of interesting that I thought as I studied, Daniel had a plan to pray. And oftentimes, you and I may have a plan to pray. Boy, I tell you, got this coming up. I've been listening to the preacher, been listening to Daniel, been listening to a lot. I put some more prayer in, but man, the circumstances of our lives and the business, we'll have a plan to pray. No, we need to pray, but how many times, Tony, do we let down the performance? We just don't take the time, and there's no substitute for time, amen? The problem that we found that Daniel said in verse 5, he just simply boldly, before God, as he began to pray just for himself and for the people he loved so dearly, he said, we've sinned. We've committed iniquity there in verse 5. We've done wickedly. And we talked about inheriting that sin nature and all that had happened in that with Daniel's lives and the people. And it kind of brings us to today. And to be quite honestly, I read to you in verse 16 through 19 something very exciting. It's kind of where his prayer shifts from the sin that was in his life, the sin of the people, the sin that had caused, and just before that in the verses we find in his prayer, he's talking to us. Look back with me up in, verse 12. It says, and he hath confirmed his words which he spake against us. So they're hearing, Daniel's hearing that God is actually, what he's listening, hearing God say is God's word is going against him. It says, against our judges that judged us by bringing upon us a great evil, for the whole heaven hath been done upon Jerusalem. So Daniel's praying, says, God, I recognize that there's consequences to our sin. There's trouble in our land. He says, listen, your words come against us, your judgments come against us, and terrible things are happening in Jerusalem. Y'all, we need to be aware of, we need to be listening to God so carefully and be walking him so closely. If things begin to fall apart at home or fall apart inside of us or things, we need to understand, what's God got to say about it? Is there some sin in our life that we've not confessed? Is there something that God's word is against? That kind of humbles me to think about it. It's amazing how easily and how nonchalantly people will just say things. They'll just say things out. They'll talk about things they're doing and they'll dismiss it, or maybe they're trying to explain it. And it's sin in their lives, simple things. You know, I decided not to. Matthew 18. Matthew 18 is an awesome passage. If you haven't read it lately, it means you're not following it. What it says is, if you've got a problem with someone, that you go and you talk to that person, the Bible, that person, them alone. And it says, as you're talking with them, if y'all can't work it out between the two of you and God, that you can go and get one or two witnesses. And that'd be, by the way, people who listen to God and walk with him. You want biblical witness, and they come alongside and you work it out. It says that if that don't work, if it's not resolved and God's not being glorified and forgiveness hasn't come and the problem's not being taken care of, bring it to the church and just get everybody together about it. You know what? I can assure you, every time that plan has been followed, it works absolutely perfectly. I mean, perfectly. But you know what the problem is? I bet you it's some point fraction below 1% of the people who are saved and know the Lord and go to church that even practice that. Y'all all right? We most often break it by this. I'm so doggone aggravated and mad, and we talking to our wife or our best friend. We done got off track. And I'm going to tell you what I found. In listening to God and dealing with anything, really wanting, that's, by the way, let me tell you this. My desire as a pastor is that you hear from God. I think I said in those earlier messages that you and I will be so in our word and prayer that when we come together, that we're sharing with one another what we've heard God say. And I'm saying, if you're depending on hearing from God from hearing from me, you're in a sad position and you're going to miss out on a whole lot of stuff, because I've only got you for about 30 minutes on Sunday. Come back on Sunday night, another 30 minutes, and maybe a little bit on Wednesday. I'm telling you, if you're depending on hearing from God from me, God bless you. God pray for you. But I want you to hear from God. I want you to listen. I want to listen to God, so in a way that I understand what God is saying. And if things are God's wanting to show us, we understand. You know, it's so, when you hear God, you'll follow God's word, you'll be obedient to it. Look back with me there in Daniel 9 again. It's amazing that if you look there in verse 11, he begins to talk about, well, really in verse 10, there's a theme that comes in his prayer here, and the theme is this. Look at verse 10. He says, neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. Take a moment for a moment. All right, let's do something different. Would you bow with me for just a moment? Now, we're not closing. Don't get excited. Would you bow for me just a moment? Close your eyes. And I'm doing the same just as soon as I read this again. Let's hear the voice of God. Listen what Daniel's prayer. Daniel's prayer says, neither have we obeyed the voice of our Lord. Lord, I pray you'll take a moment and begin with me. And for each person that's gathered here in your house. And you'll begin to even speak now. And make us aware of areas in our lives where we're not obeying your voice. Lord, help us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Listen, it says, we've not obeyed your voice to walk in the laws. I give you a very practical example there in Matthew 18. Oh, I beg of you. It wasn't even in my message this morning. If you have a problem, I mean if it's in your family, if with your wife or husband, with your children, with your boss, with your friend, with your enemy, whatever it is, I plead to hear, obey the voice of God. And I pray I'll obey the voice of God. And from now on, somebody comes to me and says, hey, I don't know what's going on. I simply say, have you done Matthew 18? Have you gone and told the person that it affects? Y'all right? Many times somebody calls me and tells me, my preacher, you got to pray for my wife. And most of the time when people tell me that, I'm thinking, man, I'm going to pray for your wife because of you. Boy, y'all are so spiritual this morning. But it says, but I started picking up in those the voice of the Lord there in verse 10. And that's what we've been talking about for weeks now. We're kind of reviewing, I guess, more. Look in verse 11. It says, and they might not obey thy voice. And then in verse 13, it says in the middle of that verse, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God. Made our prayer. As that jumps off the page, I realize that, isn't it amazing? Every one of you, I pray and hope, I really believe every one of you had prayed some this week. You maybe had some time with God in prayer, at least prayed over a meal. But what jumps out there is, if you want to hear the voice of God, there's a statement there of, made we not our prayer before the Lord. And that our prayer becomes whatever it is that God is speaking to us about what's going on in our life. It's not about all your needs and other people's needs. It's not about the food. It's not about all that's going on in the world, but it's that personal prayer. And then there again in verse 14, his prayer again at the end of verse 14, what's it say? For we obeyed not his voice. That's why Daniel stepped forward and said, we have sinned. And I said that again. Well, a great way to have family time. Gather your family. We've sinned. Say, we've not obeyed God's voice. And the reason we don't do that is because why? Because we don't hear God's voice. So when I began to realize what was going on, really in verses 16 through 19, Daniel is beginning to appeal to God. I think I've got better words of if you look at that section, one way it was titled as I studied, he begins to ask for God's mercy. He begins to pray, and what I read you in those verses, he's asking for God's mercy. He's asking for his mercy. And remember, mercy, simply what that means in the Bible, and there's often words I really believe that we hear it so often, mercy, grace, love. But what do they mean? How do they really apply in our life? Mercy literally means, in God's word, his love in action. He puts this, and so what this is Daniel begins to pray from talking about his sin and the people's sin, listening to God, saying, God, but I believe you to be a God of mercy. I believe you to be a God that if we will listen to you, that you really will show up and you'll really move. That's why in verse 19, he's pleading with him. What a prayer. I challenge you, make this your prayer this week for your own personal life and your family and our church. Oh, Lord, hear. Lord, hear us. Because what we're telling you is we have sinned. We want to turn. We want your mercy. We want to hear what you've got to say. Oh, Lord, forgive us. Amen. There is nothing like the cleansing power. But it drives me crazy. People that hold on to little pet sins and habits and things that the world says, okay, when I've experienced and I realize and I've seen in your life and in others' lives, the cleansing and the pressure and stress are taken off. What forgiveness does? When God forgives you, it's complete. Amen. It is complete and it's perfect. And every one of us stands right here this morning with enough probably unrecognized, unconfessed sin in our lives. If we'd ask God to hear us, really desiring this morning, even right now, that he'd hear and say, God, forgive us. Because I'm telling you, without forgiveness of our sins and without moving and hearing his voice. Hearing his voice is always equal to, in the Bible, being obedient to his word. I mean, making his word just the master of your life. You know, Jesus was that word, it said, made flesh. He is everything. We can't make a thought. We can't say a word. We can't make a decision without that boundary. We need boundaries. Amen. That's the problem with our world and the church in general, not just our, but the church as a whole. There's no boundaries anymore. Everything's okay. You know, let's just be happy. Let's worship God. But what we find here, and gosh, I don't know how far we can get, but hear this. What is a simple basic statement? What we've been looking at in chapter 9 is Daniel's praying. Okay, preacher, my goodness, it took you that long enough to come up with that conclusion. Yeah, Daniel's praying. Angie, Daniel's really praying. I encourage you, if you've not spent any time in Daniel 9, spend some. He is praying. It's a description. It's experiencing what real prayer that gets in touch with God. And where he does hear, he does forgive. And what's it say again there in verse 19? Oh, Lord, hearken, and do not defer not for thine own sake, O my Lord, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. Do you realize, if you've not given your heart to Jesus, that he wants his name to be upon your life today? Do you realize, if you have given your heart to Jesus, what Daniel's whole prayer builds up? Daniel goes from being so burdened and convinced of his sin. Once he has experienced that forgiveness, when God begins to show up, Daniel's prayer begins to change. He's really, hey, God called us by name. I don't know about y'all. No, I think I'm off y'all. I am encouraged to know today that I have a God who knows me personally. And God wants me to know him personally. And I can have a relationship with him. And hey, he knows my name. And he knows, hey, like my mama and dad. We know this as mamas or dads do sometimes, especially your mama. You know, if you do something wrong, here's what I'd hear. Jeffrey Todd Smith. Why do mamas do that? They call you full name. But my mama knew my name. And when I was doing something wrong, my mama would call out my name. And that's who God is. And I'm thankful for a God who loves me enough and can see where my sin would take me and my bad choices and my stinking. He calls me by name and wants me to turn back to him. Y'all, that's get excited words right there. And that when I'm down and I'm discouraged and I don't have the answers for you or my family or myself, that I have a God that knows my name. And if I'll just listen to him, he'll call my name and say, hey, I'm still here, Jeff. My grace is still sufficient. My mercy is still full. My power is unlimited. Just keep trusting me. Keep listening to me. I'll call you by name. I'm thankful to know that I'm called by his name. When I'm headed toward trouble, he might call my name. So, whoa, slow up there. Readjust there. Don't go down there. Oh, how that'll preach, y'all. Yeah, for our young people, just he knows your name. And see, that kind of brings it all together. Because he knows our name, I want to listen. Amen. When he wants to call my name and encourage me or correct me or just say, hey, you know, I really believe if we would get to listening to God, we'd be having one of those busy days, work's crazy, home's crazy, physically having trouble. I mean, I'm telling you, God can teach you a lesson. Amen. Physically. I woke up, I had trouble sleeping on Wednesday night, just kind of unsettled, and I just knew, maybe I ate something wrong or a little too late. But I went out, you know, I talk about it all the time, how stupid I can be, but I went out, and first place I got, I'm standing, and I'm listening to somebody talk, and I'm trying to minister, and I'm getting that feeling like, ooh, I don't feel too good, you know. I ain't feeling too good. Well, to top it all off, as God would have my day planned, it was my day to go to the dentist. Can I get a witness? Don't you love the dentist? I'm thankful that for my teeth, I guess, but I don't like, y'all got to go to the dentist. Oh, I had to go to the dentist. You know, they're going to scrub on your teeth with them wire brushes, and they're going to, you know, make your gums bleed and all that spiritual stuff they do. And I got that text. Precious Laura, who you know does you all the time and knows you well, she ain't here. Somebody else is doing it. So I'm sitting there in that chair, and I'm already a little, and I said, I just don't feel good. And I've testified to y'all before about when I used to work and think that, you know, I didn't get sick, nobody got sick, and God taught me a lesson on that. That's a different story. But man, I was sick, and I said, Lord, if you'll let me get home, if you'll just let me get home, Lord. And I was just, I don't know, something my aid or 24-hour virus. But I'm so thankful to know that God knew my name, and that in the midst of a day when I'm feeling bad, he knew exactly where I was at. And see, bless my wife's heart, we were having a busy day. I just sent one of them. Y'all texting, we abusing texting. I sent a text, I don't feel good, or not feeling good, you know. She said, oh my, or whatever. We went about our day. You know, during the day, my wife, she knows me better than anybody else. She didn't know how I was feeling. I hadn't had time. We hadn't had time. She knew how I was feeling. She wasn't going, God knew. God knows your name. I believe sometimes in that busiest of day, maybe you're having a great day, but it's a busy day and you're so hectic and you're not thinking about God. I think sometimes those days he'll call out your name. Hey, love you. Or maybe, hey, Jeff, I'm here. And it's a shame sometimes, and I think probably he's saying, Jeff, hey, I'm here. Got something to say to you. When you can slow down long enough to listen. Y'all, the excitement this morning, what Daniel experienced. And I'm going to close with this. And I don't know how much God will let us get into it. And y'all pray for me, and I'll pray for y'all, and we'll continue as long as Daniel wants. But I'm going to tell you what happens all of a sudden. I'm not going to read it. I want to challenge you to read it this week. But in verse 20, in verse 20 through 27, y'all, something happens. Now, remember what I said this morning. I give you the title of a message I didn't preach. Daniel is praying. Daniel is listening to God. Daniel has just realized that he's called by God's name, and he wants God's mercy, and he's asked God to look over him and to forgive him. He's being renewed. He's being restored, and he's being able to move forward. And all of a sudden, listen what God does. In verse 20, I'll just read that one verse. It says, and while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin, the sin of my people, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God from the holy mountain of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of even blessing. Y'all, it's good stuff. Daniel's praying. Daniel's confessed his sin. Daniel's asked for mercy. Daniel's getting excited, I believe, like I was getting excited preaching this to you. And all of a sudden, God interrupts his prayer. You know, some of us preachers wouldn't know how to act. We probably wouldn't stop if God interrupted our prayer. Y'all ever heard preachers pray like that? I've done that before. We are praying, and we're trying to bring heaven down because we heard somebody say that one day, and we pray. If God were to interject and stop, I don't know we'd stop. Amen? Some of you might be doing that, and you're praying. What if God? So what happens? Remember, Daniel's praying. Daniel's receiving forgiveness. Daniel realizes the problem is it's sin. Daniel's touching God, and all of a sudden, God shows up in the midst of the prayer and says, Daniel, I'm going to answer some prayer. Now, let's think about that for a moment. Wait a minute, what would it be like? God, the same yesterday, today, and forever, knows your name, if you know Jesus, just as well as he knew Daniel's name. If we realize that God, in the midst of our prayer, sometimes he just wants to stop us and for us to be quiet and listen to him and let him start answering. Oh, you know what's better than that? And I pray God lets us dive into it. What happens in these verses is this. God interrupts Daniel's prayer, sends Gabriel, the angel. You know what he starts talking about? He starts talking about what's going on right now, where Daniel's living and what's going on and what he's going to do about it. Y'all like that? Interrupts and starts talking about what's going to happen. Then this is what he does for Daniel. He starts talking about Jesus. Way, way down there in the years to come, he starts talking about Jesus. That Jesus is coming, and what people are going to do to Jesus, and then what Jesus is going to do for people. And then he ends up in that passage talking about what's going to happen in the last 7 years, then during the 7 years of tribulation. I'm telling you, it ought to make us so passionate to get on our knees and listen to God more and listen to his word, just in a time of prayer and burdened about his sin and what him and the people around him were not doing right, God shows up and God says, hey, I got a word for what's going on right now in your life and where you live. Thank you, God. Hey, by the way, let's just talk about Jesus. I'm telling you, if you have a prayer and you spend no time talking about Jesus, remember what he did on the cross, remember that he saved you, remember that he lives for you, remember he's coming again, hey, you ain't praying. And then God says, and by the way, Daniel, I got an answer for you. There's coming a day of judgment when judgment will fall over this entire land, the entire world. And there's going to be such tribulation. And you know what he didn't tell Daniel about, though? And he waited to tell us, and he says, I'm going to bring you home. I'm going to bring you and me first. And the judgment's going to fall. And after those 7 years, he told Daniel about, he said, I'm returning. Y'all, Jesus is headed back. I don't know when Jesus is coming. In fact, the Bible says only God the Father knows. No one knows when Jesus, but he's coming back. So when we listen to God and we pray, and I dare say you look around the average church like ours and the average family like ours, you're in my, there's not a lot of listening going on. And there's not a whole lot of time invested in prayer. And what Jesus says, let me interrupt your little service, Hamlin's Crossroads. Preacher, let me interrupt what you're trying to say today, and let me say this. I got a word. I got a word for everything going on in your life and all around you. All that stuff on TV, everybody say, I got a word. What I'm going to do. And then he'll say, hey, let's talk about Jesus. It's amazing what peace comes when you let God talk to you about Jesus. He loved you enough to die for you. And then he says, hey, there's judgment day coming. Tribulation is coming. Y'all, I can't imagine. The person who... If I could think of people, and I do not keep a list because I keep that forgiven, under the grace of God. But the person in my life or your life has tried to do the most harm to you. And I assure you, listen, I assure you, Satan has people like that in your lives. That person that you're dealing with now, that situation, I'll go a step further. It's hard for me to bear the thought of any person, because I know the problem is sin, and the problem is not knowing God, whatever evil stuff they're doing. But when you read, as he talks to Daniel and begins to describe the 7 years of tribulation, I can't bear to think, Jessica, about anybody. The worst of the worst people in this world having to live through that. So it draws us to pray and say, God, one more soul. Let me share Jesus with one more soul. One more person not to experience. One more person to talk to Jesus. Would you pray with me? God, we want to listen. And Lord, there's so much need represented in our church. Physical need, disease, pain, trouble. Testing coming up, doctor's visits. Lord, there's financial burdens, stresses, emotional stress, depression. Lord, there's so much that consumes and Satan is using to attack. And we're so thankful, Lord, that we can just humbly say, God, we ask, as Daniel remind us, that if we'll just ask you to see and hear, and ask you to forgive, Lord, that you know our name. And Lord, I pray right now through your Spirit, Lord, you might really begin to call out some names of folks here that just really need to hear and be reminded that you love them and that you want to help them, you want to touch them. You want them to listen to you because you have something to say. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, he can't hear your prayers. And you can't be forgiven. And that's why he warned Daniel and began to tell us about judgment days coming. Oh, I want you to miss that. I want you to find Jesus. And we're going to begin to sing in a moment. And you just leave your seat and leave your sin and turn from yourself. And we'll just talk about Jesus. We'll share with you how to know Jesus. just come say, "Preacher, I want to know that Jesus. I want him to know my name because I need him." How about it, Christian? Do you just, I'm just going to tell you, a bended knee at his house, there's really no comparison of being able to listen. It's a special, special place. He calls this his house of prayer. Maybe for some of you it's been a while since you've bended the knee. Maybe you've never come to an altar. Well, preacher, can't he just hear me where I'm at? Yeah, he can hear you. But what I'm concerned about is, can you hear him in the place that you are now? Whatever the need is, maybe he's called you to be part of this family. Maybe he's got an answer for you. And Lord, I pray through your spirit you'll begin to give those answers. And then give us a peace, Lord, when those answers are delayed. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
If you'll please stand and join me as we listen to the words of